The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
Over the past year, UWM has been celebrating the Year of the Arts as the Peck School of the Arts observes its 50th anniversary. The only school of the arts in the UW system, the Peck School has produced an amazing group of graduates who have gone on to enrich the world with their work. On this edition of UWM Today, we meet two UWM Peck School grads who truly are at the top of their game. Henry Godinez is a 1984 grad of the Professional Theater Training Program. Today, you can find him at Chicago's Goodman Theater, where he is resident artistic associate. Henry is also on the faculty at Northwestern University in Chicago. Also with us today, Kevin Stahlheim, another treasure of the Peck School. He graduated in 1981 with a master's in music conducting. Today, Kevin is the artistic director of Milwaukee's Present Music, a group he founded and that today has an international reputation for commissioning new music. Henry and Kevin have both been selected as this year's UWM Foundation Alumni Fellows. It's an honor that goes to a very select group of the more than 140,000 UWM graduates. This month, both are back on campus, meeting with students, and sharing their stories of making a difference in the artistic world. Kevin and Henry, welcome to the program, and congratulations on the award, and how lucky and proud we are to have two folks like you having spent time on campus and now working in your distinctive artistic fields. Great to have you with us today.
Good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So, Henry, you are just down the road in Chicago with your career, and it all sort of started back here in Milwaukee a few years ago.
It did, actually. When I graduated in 84 from this graduate program, I actually was intending to go to New York, and a classmate of mine had met an agent in Chicago and said, hey, you know, this agent wants to meet you, come down. And I went and auditioned for a film, and they were very excited, and I was like, oh my goodness, a movie. And then I got cast in a play in Chicago, at a theater called Wisdom Bridge Theater that actually the artistic director of the Goodman was the artistic director of back then. Robert Falls is his name. So, and I was telling Kevin that my intention was to go and do this one play and then move to New York like all actors. And I was very fortunate and just kept working. And here I am 30 years later, still in Chicago.
So. A chapter you never could have imagined unfolds in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
And Kevin, music is your thing. We have an actor next to you and Henry, and your chapter took a different route artistically.
Yeah, different in the sense of music, but actually somewhat similar to Henry's in that Milwaukee was probably one of the last places I thought I would end up. I was born in Milwaukee, and I grew up in Menominee Falls, but I had a lot of really sort of exciting, exotic experiences away from Milwaukee as a musician. And it was really somewhat of a fluke when my old trumpet teacher called my mom and said, what's Kevin doing? This was after undergraduate. And my mom honestly said, he doesn't know what he's going to do. So I was offered a teaching assistantship at UWM in trumpet. And I came, and I was pretty much really surprised. I didn't know what to expect, but it was like a really, it was a really great experience, and it led to Present Music and all of this. But I never thought I'd end up here.
Mm-hmm. Well, both of you now are alumni fellows, and that means that that you are really put up on a pedestal here for a bit as we bring you back to not only honor you for your service and your success in the artistic world, but maybe more importantly, giving our students, our current students, an opportunity to hear from both of you, hear these stories of how your life unfolded. Kevin, I want to begin with you because you've already had that experience. Henry later today is going to be meeting with students, but what was it like to be back in front of those students after having been away for a bit?
Yeah, it was really, really nice. At first, I was a little bit daunted by the task of talking to about four or five different groups for an hour because I'm not really a talker. But but once I got in the rooms with these people, it was really, really cool. Talked to the composition students. I went to actually a business class for nonprofits and talked about how I've dealt, or I guess how I've related to the board of directors. And I talked to the entire music students for and a couple other things, and it was really great just to think that, you know, when I was talking to them, that I used to be one of them, and to think of what I had learned and what I had experienced, that it was actually valuable. You could see it, that you could just see their curiosity and hear it in their questions, and they came up to me afterwards, and it was a lot of fun. I think it was good for them, and it was really good for me. It was inspiring.
Well, you've seen a lot of musicians over the years, especially in your professional capacity as a leader of Present Music. What's your assessment of the music students who are about to burst out into the world?
Well, I really wasn't. Yeah, okay. I was going to say I haven't assessed them, but in a sense, I guess I would say the composition, which is, you know, my world, is new music. And composers and living composers. And so the composition department at UWM is just incredibly healthy. It's really impressive, and it's large. And it wasn't like that when I was a student. And so, you know, that was great. And they're doing a lot of different concerts, public concerts, and they have a wide range of what they do, from electronic technological music to the more acoustical things. But, it was... I think really impressive talking and hearing their questions. As far as the rest of it, I did attend a UWM orchestra rehearsal, and they sounded great. They're playing Tchaikovsky's Fifth, and it was kind of nice to hear them. So things seemed good to me.
Futures appears to be in good hands as that next generation comes along. Henry, later on today, you'll be meeting with students, but you're surrounded by students all the time, teaching down at Northwestern, a fabulous school just to the south of us. What are your expectations as you come back, having been here in really a premier program at the time, the professional theater training program with really an international reputation?
You know, it was quite the experience, and I, without hesitation, say that those 3 years in that program made it possible for me to do everything that I've been fortunate enough to do in my career, because even though I was trained as an actor, after about, I guess 6 or 7 years in Chicago, being fortunate enough to work as an actor regularly, I helped start a theater company and became the artistic director and began directing a lot. And over the years, transitioned to become more of a director, and then I started teaching, and then I went for a long period, over a decade, where I never performed, didn't pursue performance. And so I'm excited to actually meet with the students and let them know that, you know, everything you learn helps you expand into almost any field. You know, that just because you're learning to be an actor or training to be an actor now doesn't mean that, you know, that's the only avenue available to you in the theater. And that I always feel that the more you know about the entire animal that is the theater, and that includes the technical side, the design, the performance, the writing, directing, I believe the theater is about being a total theater artist, and that enables you then to follow any opportunity that comes up for you. And that's sort of what happened to me, and I hope that I can, you know, let them know that that that's possible for them. Certainly, if it was for me, it surely will be for them.
You know, I've talked to a lot of parents, and I guess I could include myself as one of them, who who have a child who pursued the arts. My daughter is a musician, and I have to admit, not being an artist myself, when she said, "Dad, I'm going to major in music," and she went on and got her master's in music performance, there was just a moment where I said, "This is fabulous. You're terrific, but can you make a living at it? It's not an easy world, is it?"
No, but you know, that's why I love teaching at Northwestern, because it's a liberal arts university, and I really believe that if you have a good, solid liberal arts foundation education to begin with, and then you focus, or within that education, focus then in a specific arts field, that you will be, I think, head and shoulders above most people, because you will have learned critical thinking, you will have learned to be creative, to be expressive, and that includes whether it's music or dance, or the arts allow you to really express yourself, and whether you end up as a doctor, a lawyer, a engineer, whatever, I really believe it will serve you in exceeding in your chosen field. So I tell that to parents with all the confidence in the world, so I tell you that as well, that I really do believe that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's the rush? I mean, when you're 18 right. years old, you should be exploring your passions and opening your mind to all kinds of, you know, different things. So I mean, think about these athletes that are in the Olympics, maybe as a sort of in a comparison. I mean, they might be working on their sport till they're 30 years old. I don't think people are worried about them because, you know, they have this passion, and then mm-hmm. when that's over, they go to something else. But, I mean, there's really no rush. That was hard to explain to my mother, but there were times where I was a little slow, and, in fact, I actually quit music for 2 years right in the middle of my master's degree here, which was, you know, pretty shocking to a lot of people. But you know, I just felt like I needed some time off or whatever, and who knows what you're going to really end up doing. But I was 30 before I started really, I think, gravitating toward what I do now.
What was the trigger for you, Kevin, that said after, it sounds like, casting around a little bit, trying to yeah. get that right path, what was it that made you say, this is it, this is the profession that I'd like to pursue, I want to be in music?
Well, I don't know if it clicked. It was very, really sort of organic. First of all, I never knew I had leadership abilities or organizational abilities, which is a big part of present music. I was really a trumpet jock. That's what I call me. You know, 6 hours a day playing the trumpet. The whole goal is to get in an orchestra.
My daughter told me about people like you. She plays yeah. the flute, and she said, yeah. look out for those trumpet players.
Yeah, it's true. Well, there's something about every instrument, but we can't get into that. But no, I mean, it was like, that's all I did. And actually, for me, that became boring. And so I did put my trumpet in the case, went out west. I was a bum. And then being a bum became boring, came back to UWM and was a conducting major because I was always interested in conducting. And what I did was I just put musicians together and concerts together sort of ad hoc. It was nothing to do with my formal studies. And I just found that, you know, creating something sort of from scratch, something that didn't happen before, a concert, was really exciting to me, all the dimensions of that, of getting good musicians playing music they usually wouldn't get to play, and then trying to reach an audience with that. I think the variety of that and the challenge of that, just, you know, it was something I was surprised that I could do, and I felt gratified by seeing the musicians really excited about it and watching the audience build. So, yeah.
Henry, you talked about your acting career, and you said that you actually didn't act for a period of time after you established yourself at the university and in the role of artistic director. Are you back on the stage now, or back in front of the cameras?
You know, sometimes I think I've had better fortune when I stopped acting than when I was pursuing it actively. But in recent years, in the last 5 or 6 years, maybe it's being a certain age, but casting directors in Chicago that I have worked with as a director in casting and that knew me as a teacher began to call me about television roles and things happening in Chicago. And I felt as a teacher it was good for me to go and see if I could practice what I teach. And so I have been doing some TV in the last 5 or 6 years.
But you were in Chicago Fire? And
Chicago Fire, yeah. Chicago Code, The Beast. There was a show called Boss with Kelsey Grammer that filmed. I did a couple of episodes of that. And it's good for me as a teacher, you know, to do what my students are going into. And then on stage a couple of times at the Goodman, most recently, actually, just a couple of weeks ago, I was in a production that we've been developing for a couple of years with a company in Cuba. It was a Spanish language production, all in Spanish with English supertitles, but it was half the cast was from Havana and half from Chicago. And so it's confrontational, but it's good for me. You know?
Is it unsettling knowing that you are teaching others how to do this and then suddenly you find yourself in the spotlight?
Well, it is a little bit when I look down on opening night and my students are all in the front row like they were recently. I was like, oh, thanks a lot. You could sit a little further back.
You don't want to screw up in front of them.
Right? It's hard to cheat when they're right 5 feet away.
You told us to do this, but why did you not do it?
Yeah, I didn't see, you know. But that's, you know, it's good. It's good. And I like to have that relationship with my students. Where, because, you know, and I'm sure Kevin, you know, sort of he was speaking to this a second ago, students keep you honest, you know, and you learn from students. That's what I love about teaching is that the more I teach, the more I learn. And the smarter they are, the less compromising they are and the less they let you get away with. And I love that. It's life is too short to just kind of BS your way through it. So.
Yeah, I see on our campus, I tell students all the time that your antenna, your BS detector works better than anybody else,
oh,
right?
Man,
because
yes.
Many of them haven't been out working in the world and where they've been put into a compartment. Mm-hmm. And so they're not bashful about asking questions. Sometimes very embarrassing or very forward questions, but isn't that truth and honesty?
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be refreshing to see.
Yeah, it's so important.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Great to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and we're thrilled to, in the studio this week, have two very, very special alumni. Henry Godinez is a 1984 grad of the Professional Theater Training Program, now part of the Chicago Goodman Theater and a professor at Northwestern University. And next to him, Kevin Stahlheim, another treasure of the Peck School. He graduated with a master's degree in music conducting, and today he is fortunately right in our backyard as the artistic director of Milwaukee's Present Music. And we're talking about the great honor that they've received, recognized by the UWM Foundation and the Alumni Association as our two alumni fellows for this year, meaning that they come back to campus and get to visit with students and receive tribute for very, very successful careers. It's all tied in with the 50th anniversary of the Peck School of the Arts at UWM, and maybe that's a good signal for us to talk a little bit about the Peck School. And both of you have already related the value of your education today. In retrospect, would you imagine that there was any other place that you could have gone to have become armed with the skills that have now led to your successful careers than the Peck School?
I think for me, one of the biggest, maybe a surprise or a great thing was that Milwaukee was an urban environment. I mean, for Present Music wouldn't exist unless it was in a relatively large urban environment. And so I came from a little college in Ohio, a little small little town, and I didn't know where I would end up. But the resource of having a city, I think I told the students this, is just fantastic. They can see artists coming in from around the world. If they do their own concerts, they can use some of the resources. When I started Present Music, it was actually called the Milwaukee Music Ensemble. I used graduate students, but I also was using people in the Milwaukee Symphony and freelancers around town to create these sort of ad hoc concerts. And so I think the urban environment of UWM is a major plus for anyone that would come here.
How about you, Henry?
Boy, no, I can't imagine any place else. The PTTP at that time was completely unique. And at that time, I knew that what I wanted to study was Shakespeare, and that I loved Shakespeare, and I wanted to, that's what I wanted to perform more than anything. And I was an apprentice at Actors Theater of Louisville, which is a terrific theater in Kentucky, and one of our directors had been in the program at UWM, but didn't finish. She went out into the world, and she said, "Well, you need to go here. It's the best classical training in the country." And there's no question that it was. It was really hard and very, very confrontational. I can't imagine learning the discipline and the skills that I learned here anywhere else.
As you think about art education today, sadly, we see stories on a far too frequent basis of arts being the first to be cut, particularly in the K-12 system, where they're looking at putting an emphasis on testing and the like. As two folks who have made their life based on your love and your ability in the arts, how do you react to that when you see these stories that we really don't need music, or we really don't need a theater program in a high school or in a junior high?
Well, I guess I would say, yeah, it's really troubling as far as what I do. I do my small part, I think I would say, we do, present music, really. And, for instance, we have a thing called the Creation Project, and what it is we have composers going into schools, actually K-12, and they go into the schools and they get kids composing. And so it's just fantastic, because a lot of times with music, I think it's often about recreation, too much about recreation. It's like playing whatever's in front of you, either living composers or dead, and it's more common, unfortunately, dead. But I think that getting kids to write these pieces, they feel such pride, and they're having their fellow students and present music musicians perform these pieces, and it's a great thing. I mean, other things that we do, we're part of the ACE program with the Milwaukee Symphony. We go into schools and we do our program. And I mean, those are not huge things, but I guess we can only do what each person or organization can do. And so that's what we try to do. Is another thing is for our performances, I like to involve amateur musicians in general. It's kind of a challenge, but a fun thing, and it's a big part of my hope to bring the community into what present music does. And so we'll often use like student choirs, or sometimes we'll work with the Milwaukee Symphony Youth Orchestra musicians, have some string players or whatever. So we do that, and I guess I would just encourage anyone that can do anything in their small way to do it.
I totally agree, and I think it's really unfortunate and very nearsighted on the part of our leaders and our politicians, because there's a ton of data that actually proves that the creative arts help students excel in every field, including math and science, you know? But I think it's especially unfortunate, because I think the arts are the things that keep a lot of students in school, that give the students and young people a place to be that they may not ordinarily have, which keeps a lot of young people out of trouble, off the streets, engaged in society and in contributing to society. So I think it's absolutely fundamental to the well-being of any society, and it's I think if our lawmakers were really honest with themselves, they would agree, and they would support that.
Well, and just the self-esteem alone that comes from a young person realizing that they can do something. They can be rewarded either through applause or a slap on the back with at a boy or at a girl can make a huge difference when you're impressionable and you're 14 or 15 years old.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think, it's a matter of, I guess, balance. I think going back to the basics, human beings, what were they doing like thousands of years ago? You know, part of it is dancing and playing music. It's part of what makes a human. And to, like, deny that opportunity or to not nurture it is so short-sighted. I think it leads to imbalance. And we don't want imbalanced politicians. We don't want imbalanced scientists.
No.
And, of course, you know, in my opinion, we have a little of that going on, maybe a lot.
Yeah. As you think about your careers, both of you, you're here being honored as alumni fellows, and you're, again, being held up as the model of what our students might aspire to be like someday. As you think about that in relationship to your career, where do you see yourselves going? I mean, are you at the point now where you feel like you're at the apex, or is there still lots of room for growth and development, knowing that you've already both accomplished a lot already?
Hmm. Go ahead, Henry.
No, goodness. That's the funny thing about a recognition like this. It's humbling to me because, for one thing, I look at my classmates and I think that they've been every bit as successful as or more so than me. But every day I think, oh, when am I actually going to get something accomplished? When am I going to do something and do something well? So no, I think it's just a place that I'm at on a journey that I hope to continue. There's a lot that I feel I still need to do and do better every day in the classroom. Every time I leave the classroom, I'm like, ah, doggone it, I got to do that better next time. So,
any big roles that you'd still like to play? You want to get back and do more of that Shakespeare that you love so much?
You know, the playing Shakespeare is the only thing in terms of acting that that does still make my mouth water and makes me miss performing. And certainly, there's a company, a terrific company in Chicago called Chicago Shakespeare. I worked with them in the early days. Now they're very successful on Navy Pier, and I haven't performed with them in many years. And so maybe that is something that at some point. But sometimes I think I'm too lazy to do 8 shows a week anymore. I'm like, oh no, I'd like to be home at night and see my daughters and stuff. So,
how about you, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm like Henry. I think it's pretty common for artists not to really be satisfied very easily or to not live in the past. And so for me, I mean, I do look at what could have been better, and I'm just trying to look into the future of what maybe it's partially what can be challenging and how I can do it better. I think it's a really common thing, but I have to say an honor like this and. There are certain times I think as I get older where a little bit of wisdom is creeping in, and it's nice to sit back and say, you know, it's good things have happened, and you know, there are results that are something you can be proud of. And so yeah, I have those moments, but I usually just get right back to the drawing board, as you say, and want to do the next thing.
And the beauty with both of you in terms of the work you're doing is that you are around young people who are themselves developing their careers and their talents, and that has to be very rewarding to be a part of that.
Yeah, it's really exciting for me to work with young composers. There was a while where I was young, and as I was growing older, so were the composers that I liked, and I knew that I had to not just stick with those same guys. You know, it's fun to do their music. Fun, I shouldn't say fun, but you know, it's important, and I enjoy it, and it's great music. But it's really been exciting to see the younger generation of composers. A lot of women composers now, and younger composers that are doing things where they're forming their own ensembles. It's really an exciting time for music.
Well, gentlemen, again, thank you very much for sharing your stories. Thank you for all the contributions that you have made and will continue to make in the artistic world. And congratulations on being named Alumni Fellows at UWM this year.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks
Tom. For having us.
Henry Godinez and Kevin Stahlheim, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.